If you would, take your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14.
Starting to quiet down a little bit here, and less of the pages rattle. That's a good indication. I know if you're getting there or not. If y'all had smartphones, unless you had the ticker tack turned on, no, he's turned on, I wouldn't know if you were there or not, because you just all you hear is we can hear them pages rustle a whole lot better. Sounds better too, in my opinion. Look at verse 26 there. Says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply he hath laid the foundation, and it is not able to finish it. All that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Right. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Right. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an embassage and desireth conditions of peace. Right. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Right. Whenever someone goes to build something, they plan, right? There's always got to be planning involved, and it's probably hours, if not days, worth of planning. You've got to find the location. I mean, location is key. I'm sure there are probably some people, when they go to plan, man, they'd love to get this location, but, well, they'd settle for this, this, or this. Then you got to figure out the building size. How big you're going to build it? How tall you're going to build it? Materials. Which companies to use? I mean, that's a big deal. Definitely. Do I go with this company or do I go with this company? I remember a job, I found out later, my boss had bid on a job. And they said, no, we're not going to go with you. We're going to go with this other company. They're cheaper. Yeah, here we come. Oh, 6-8 months later to fix the job the other guys messed up on. Yeah, if you just got the right company in the first place, you wouldn't have these problems. And it just that makes a big difference. Makes a big difference. If there is no plan, then the speed at which something gets done and the organization, it starts to just slip away. You know, if you don't have a plan as to how you're going to accomplish something, man, it's going to get disorganized very quickly. It's the time frame you wanted to get it accomplished, it gets lengthened, big time, lengthened. There was another job I worked on. We started the job, started working it, got most of the foundation up. We got the big walls. It was, I don't know, good 12, 15-foot high walls, maybe a little bit more. I don't remember exactly. They were good-sized walls. I mean, and this place is sitting up on top of a hill, and here we are getting it up. We get all the tall walls up, had the foundation in, tall walls up, had about 20% left of the building to go, and all of a sudden my bosses go, okay, pack it up, boys. We're taking it all back to the shop. Okay, don't we need to finish it? He said, not unless we're not going to get paid. Man ran out of money. He started building the building, didn't he have enough money to finish it? I've always looked at that and thought, man, it's out in the middle of the country. There was a skiing area. He owned a ski resort, and so it's near there. And I thought, man, could you imagine being somebody driving down the road and looking over there, and there's just concrete walls out in the middle of a field just standing straight up in the air doing nothing. As this verse says, people would mock them. Everyone that saw it would go, man, I wonder what happened over there. I wonder what happened. I wonder why those walls are there. Thankfully, he got enough money. We came back. We finished the job. He got the thing opened up, got it totally completed, opened up, nice little hotel, water resort thing, and, you know, so it got done. But, man, what a shame because of poor planning.
Right. Amen.
Thought he could keep going but didn't have enough funds to finish the job. How embarrassing.
Yep.
Even with the school, when we put the school together, man, we got a plan for the year.
Right.
You know, for the most part, you know what's going to happen, but at the beginning of the year, we go, okay, you know, one of the things we did, we sat down, all right. When are we going to take lunches? Because we're going to have to split it up.
Right.
Who's going at what time?
Right.
Maybe your class needs to get, you know, my class, we got 31 kids in that classroom.
Yep.
We don't have 31 seats in the lunchroom. So we had to figure out, okay, who's going to go with the younger kids and get an early lunch?
Amen.
And then who's going at a later time to get their lunch? You just,
right.
The logistics, you got to figure it out.
Amen.
If we didn't, imagine, you know, first day, I mean, they can be hectic as it is. Imagine if we didn't just figure that stuff out, we'd be sitting there, man, it'd be a headache. Got a plan. Just about everything in life requires a plan, if you think about it. It doesn't mean you got to sit down for days figuring out, you know, what am I going to do here for, you know. No, I mean, you come up with it. Sometimes it just takes a few moments. Sometimes it takes a few hours. But everything pretty much takes planning. Do you have a plan for your life? That's what we're looking at tonight. I got three areas to plan for. Go to God in a word of prayer tonight. Dear Lord, we thank you for the folks that came tonight, God. They came to hear from you. I just ask you would help them to get something from your word. Lord, give me the right words to say as I preach tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. First area you need to plan for is eternity.
Amen.
You need to plan for eternity.
Oh, yes.
I know this may sound a little redundant. We talked about this, you know, in some form this morning, but, you know, I look around the auditorium and you look around the auditorium, you see some little lost souls? Oh, yeah. They need to hear this.
Sure, right.
They need to hear it. You need to plan for eternity. You need salvation.
That's right.
Man, if you don't plan, then you're lost.
Amen.
You're lost. And your plan is already made for you. Either you're going to plan for eternity, or eternity will be planned for you.
Right.
Look at John 3:18. We saw this morning. Well, we're going to look at it again tonight. John chapter 3, verse 18. Says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
Right.
If you don't plan for eternity, you're already condemned.
Right.
Eternity has already been planned for you. It's been set in stone as to where you're going to go and what's going to happen. As a matter of fact, you are condemned to hell.
Right.
Now, you don't have to go there. The only way you can change that destination, that does not have to be your permanent destination. You can change it, and that's why you need to plan for it. You need to plan to, hey, I'm going to change this. When I was 9 years old, I realized I have a destination.
Right.
I don't like that destination.
Amen.
And I made a plan, and I did something on that plan. I acted on that plan. I came forward to my dad. He was preaching. He took the invitation. I came forward and said, I need to get saved.
Amen.
And I got saved. I made a new plan for my eternity.
Amen.
The cost of this plan has already been paid for.
Yep. That's right.
Think about it. Most plans cost something, right?
Sure.
Maybe some time.
Yes, sir.
Maybe some money.
That's true.
Cost of the plan of salvation, that costs someone's life.
Amen. Yep.
Cost Jesus Christ. He died on the cross. But you know what? He paid all of it, 100% of it. Therefore, I don't have to pay a dime. It's right there, and I just have to simply take it. That's why he calls it a free gift. And so many people, they see it. It's there, right there. You can have it. What's sad is so many people in churches, they go through life. And they're too proudful, they're too ashamed to admit, I'm lost.
Yes, sir.
Because I almost did that. I made a profession at 5 years old that I was saved. And at 9, God convicted me of my sin. And I almost, it was tempting, you know, the devil sat there and touched my pride and went, but what will everybody think? Oh, man, they're going to, they think you're saved. What would they think if you go forward to get saved? You know, what? And I kept hearing that, and I thought, man, you know, I don't, you know, I got to swallow my pride. Well, my pride would not, it wasn't worth it. I realized, Eternity in hell ain't worth holding on to that pride.
No, sir.
It's not worth it. I changed my destination.
Amen.
Got my plan changed for eternity.
Amen.
Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Not some people.
No.
Not just a select few.
Oh, no.
There's some folks that like to believe that that verse really should say, for those whom I have chosen shall be saved. I always find that interesting. How do you know you're chosen? Who gets to say, you know, who decides, who knows who's actually chosen or not? Because I think, man, if there's only a select few that are chosen, and how do you know you really are the chosen?
Right.
You have to wait till you show up at eternity and God says, oh, no, I didn't choose you.
Yeah.
See you later.
Oh,
no. That's not what he said.
Amen.
Right?
No, sir.
That's not what he said. He said, for whosoever, that's anybody.
Amen.
I don't care who you are, anybody. You could be the most wretched sinner, which Paul said, hey, I am chief. So I guess that spot's already taken. So you can't be number one chief sinner, but you can be number two chief sinner. If we want to get look at it that way, hey, Paul said he was number one. So and Paul was a great man. Kind of hard to argue with him, you know. So you can't take the number one spot. He already took it. So you get to be number two chief sinner. But if God saved the number one chief sinner, I think he'd save the number two chief sinner and subsequent after. Yeah, anybody can get saved.
Yes, sir.
Simply call on the Lord Jesus Christ, now shalt be saved.
Amen.
Change that destination. Change your plan for eternity. Instead of having that plan that's already been made out where you're destined for hell,
right.
Get that plan changed so you're going to heaven.
Amen.
We got a plan for eternity.
True.
Now I look around this auditorium. Most of you have, I believe.
Amen.
Most of you have planned for eternity. Well, what else is there to plan for? How about for the future?
Come on.
Have you planned for the future? How you plan for your future is your service. Look, what do you plan to do in 5 years?
Right.
What do you plan to do in 10 years?
Right. Yeah.
What do you do if God gives it to you 15 years, 20 years?
Yeah.
Now these next two things, they kind of overlap. And they overlap into eternity as well. I believe all of these overlap. But what do you plan to do? You know, if you never plan to serve him, you're never going to serve him. If you put it off, I'll do it. I'll do it next year.
Yeah.
Next year's going to come around and you're going to go, I'll do it next year. Now, if you plan to, hey, I'm going to start serving him now, and I want to continue to serve him into next year, and the next year, and the next year, and the next year, I think you will be serving him. I think you will. How do you plan to serve the Lord? Do you plan to serve him? Look in Luke chapter 14. Go back to our text and look at the first verses there. It says in verse 26, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciples. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciples. Verse 33, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple.
Right.
You know, I've always looked at this and thought it was strange that, you know, we're just supposed to hate everybody, or hate our whole family, even hate ourselves. But you know what it is? Somebody that's looking on the outside, looking in, who is either lost or out of the will of God, they don't understand it. And so they look at it and they go, man, you just hate everybody. And in reality, that's not the truth. But it appears that way because you have so much love for your Lord. You say, Lord, I'm going to serve you. You're going to be number one in my life. I don't care about anyone else. You're going to be number one. But I've noticed that if God's number one, then everyone else takes the number two, three, four, five position. But you still love them.
Oh, yes. Amen.
You still love them. because God has commanded us to do that. But what it appears is you hate them. But you know what? If you flip that, you're telling God, I don't care about you, Lord. I'm going to make them number one. I'm going to make myself. And you're an afterthought. Amen. Oh, my. We got a plan to serve him. We've got a plan to serve him. Our God's plan should be greater than our own. It should be greater than our own. We should be willing to, all right, Lord, I'll take my plan. Look. When I was a teenager, I had some ambitions. And I tell it to the young people at school, and they kind of laugh at me like, that's what you wanted to do? I said, yeah. You know, I wanted to be a farmer. You say, you wanted to be a farmer? Yeah, I enjoyed animals. I really did. I enjoyed animals, and I thought, hey, get to be around animals all day and take care of them? That sounds like a good thing to me. And I just thought, man, I'm going to be a farmer. My dad said, no, you're not. I said, yeah, I am. He said, son, with a voice like that, God's not calling you to be a farmer. I said, yeah, Dad, I can call the cows home. Yeah, smart aleck kid, young kid. Ted went, God's going to call you to preach. Just wait. I'm like, okay. Yeah, sure enough, God called me to preach. I surrendered to his plan and said, all right, Lord, I'll take your plan. I'll let mine go off by the wayside there. But you know what? We've got to be able to put others to the side, make sure God's number one. Say, okay, Lord, what's your plan for my life? I'll serve you. What is it that you'd have me to do? You know what? He's called all of us to do something different. We all aren't going to do it. Man, if we all did the same thing, this church wouldn't function. Okay, can't have everybody preaching. A, it'd be chaos, because if everybody was preaching, there'd be nobody to listen. And you think about it this Sunday morning. Man, if everybody was preaching, we didn't have any Sunday school teachers or junior church teachers or nursery workers. Amen. Praise God for nursery workers, all right? Sometimes they got a tough job, all right? Yes, you get one kid screaming and crying, you got another kid with a messy diaper, and you got to try to balance all that, and another kid needs to be fed. Amen. Hey, praise the Lord for them nursery workers. I think they got some rewards up in heaven one day, okay? Because they're doing the Lord's work, that's for sure. Amen. We need to serve them. We need to serve him. Look, it's going to be a bit of a cross. He said in verse 27, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. You know, we like to throw the term Christian around. Yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. But sometimes I think we throw that term around and don't really think what it actually means. It means little Christ. It means Christ-like. Well, are you really then? Does that term Christian really apply to me? And how I live my daily life, or is it just a term I like to use? Because everybody knows, it means you go to church or you're a Bible believer. Hopefully we live up to that. Hey, I've got some reasons why to plan to serve the Lord. There's some good things. Look, what I love about God just doesn't say, hey, you know what? I saved your soul. Serve me. Now, if he did, he's totally justified. He's totally right in demanding that, hey, all I want is you to serve me. I saved your soul. You're not going to hell. You're going to come to heaven with me one day. Just do what I ask. But our loving God, our Heavenly Father, says, you know what? I'm going to make it a little bit better for you. Serve me, and this is what you'll get. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5, look in verse 8. Verse 8 says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. You know, we're going to receive some things. First of all, just serve him because of what he's done for you. If, like I said, if that was it, that's good enough, reason good enough to serve God. Just because, look, he saved your soul from hell, forgave you of all your sin. That should be good enough. And then look where we get to go. We get a little description of heaven, but I don't even think we know the half of what it's going to be like up there. Okay? Paul came back and said, guys, I can't describe it to you. Okay? I don't have the words to tell you what it's like. He is one man that went there. John, he did a pretty good job of describing it, and I think God gave him the words to say, because John probably was looking at it going, whoa. God, you want me to write this in a book? How do I do this? I'll give you the words, child. I think God gave him the words to put down for us. But you know what? I don't even think it's half of it. We're going to get there and be like, whoa, it's not even close to what I remember reading. Just for that, serve him. Serve him. What else? Well, because he hasn't taken to heaven yet, why not serve him? What else do you have to do here on earth? You know what? I'm guilty of it too, okay? We look around and we're like, oh man, but there's so much to do. I can do this, and I can do this, and I can do this, and I can do this. And when I get, you know, we get our little toys, and you know, oh, I enjoy my toys, and I'm not against it. If God has blessed you and you've been able to get some things, enjoy it, all right? I know Brother Charles, I know he recently, he's off of work. Man, he got to go enjoy his boat, all right? Got to go out and enjoy some of God's creation. But don't just live for the things that you can get and consume here on earth. Don't have your life so focused that, well, I'm just here to get. And have some service plan in life. Plan of how can I give back? How can I give back to God? What can I do for him? Don't just get, it's distractions. Because that the devil doesn't want you to serve him. So he'll give all kinds of distractions. So you get, your focus gets lost and you get focused on other things instead of serving God. Don't get distracted with the things of this world. Just, hey, honestly, we don't have anything else better to do here on earth other than serve him. So that's the one thing that'll last for eternity is our service for him. What else? Because one day you'll give account of what you did for him in your body. You know what? I want everybody to be able to stand before God and say, hey, Lord, this is what I did for you. And not be hanging their heads because they've got nothing to show for it. They're standing there empty-handed, looking around going, God, I don't have anything to show you. I didn't do anything for you. What a sad day for that person. What a sad day. Yeah, you know, I think about it. There'll be times, I mean, I look at my life and I go, man, I know I could have done better here, and I could have done better here, and I could have done better here. And yeah, there we may look around and go, man, I could have done better for him, but it will be good to at least say, at least I did something for the Lord. At least I did something. And then, hey, lastly, because there's rewards for your service. I mean, God already has given us so much up there. And then on top of it, he says, hey, you serve me, I give you something for it. You know, he knows how to get our attention a little bit, I think. You know, it's always nice to get that extra bonus for doing something. And God's just saying, here's some more bonuses for, you know, you serve me, I'll give you something. I'll give you some rewards. They're waiting for you, but all you got to do is serve me. That's pretty good. Next, plan for today. You plan for eternity. You plan for the future. Plan for today. And that's your surrender. Your surrender. Look in Romans 13 and Galatians 5. Like I said, these last two, they kind of intermixed a little bit. You know, of course, it's all for eternity if you think about it. Planning for your future, well, you know, how can you serve the Lord? Hey, that's going to roll over into eternity. That's the one thing that will. But your surrender. Look at verse 14, Romans 13, verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof.
Then look in Galatians chapter 5. Look at verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Then look down in verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be not led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Look, we need to say no to ourselves. We've got to be able to surrender our desires, our fleshly desires to the Lord on a daily basis. You know, that flesh likes to rear its ugly head. I know it does in my life. It likes to rear up and say, hey, I want this, 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 I want this. And daily, I got to say, no, no, no. We've got to do that. We've got to be able to surrender. This is what I want. Okay, Lord, what is it that you want for me to do today? What's your will for my life today? It said, now plan to not make provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. The flesh just wants to consume. It wants to do whatever it wants because it lusts after everything. Well, you know what? We got a plan to tell it no. If you don't plan to tell it no, chances are you won't tell it no. You'll already be going along on your day and you'll forget that I need to tell it no, and it'll rear its ugly head and you'll give in. Because that desire of the flesh is strong. And it wants what it wants, whether you have a say in it or not. It wants what it wants. And it's, man, you've got to be able to have some strength. And if you don't prepare yourself spiritually to say, hey, you're going to be told no. You're going to be told no. Then it's going to be hard to tell it no. We've got to surrender. Full surrender to what God would have you to do. That's what really brings liberty and joy. You know, it talks about we've got liberty in Christ. Before we were saved, we didn't have liberty. Now that we're saved, why would we want to shackle ourselves back down in sin? You know, I hear a lot of folks, you know, there are some Christians, but there are some Christians that believe that when they get liberty in Christ, it allows them to do whatever they want. They can sin and do whatever they care to do. And that's not what it says. You now have liberty to say no to the flesh. You now have liberty to be able to tell this flesh, no, you're not going to do that. No, I'm not going to sin. Because before you couldn't do that. But liberty in Christ now gives you the ability to say no. What do we need to tell our flesh? We're unshackled from the weight of sin. Man, I remember when I got saved, man, that weight, it just gone. It was amazing. In a sense, you almost didn't realize how much it was there, and then disappears. You're like, wow, this is what living a life is supposed to be like. Man, I can actually have control over my life. Yeah, with the Holy Spirit's help, you can. You can't. Hey, do you plan to surrender your time to, Lord, I'm going to read my Bible and I'm going to pray today? You know, I've noticed if I don't plan to read my Bible and pray every day, so tomorrow, if I don't wake up and plan, I'm going to read my Bible and pray, guess what doesn't get done? My Bible reading and prayer is not going to get done. One of them reasons is my flesh don't like to do it. It doesn't. It doesn't want to sit down and read this book, because this book corrects it and says, hey, you're doing this wrong, you're doing this wrong, you're doing this wrong. And so that flesh goes, no, man, I don't want to read that. Keep it away. My spirit says, no, you need it. You need it. Get in it. But if I don't plan to, okay, I'm going to do this. And for me, okay, I know how much time it takes to read so many pages. And so I've got to mentally go, okay, if it doesn't happen then I'm going to have to do it during this time. Or, all right, we might have to split it up. We're going to read this much this time and this much this time, because I know I can get so much done in this amount of time. But I notice if I never plan for it, it's never going to happen. We got a plan. Okay, Lord, I'm going to get in that book. I'm going to surrender my time for you, and I'm going to get in that book, and I'm going to read it. Lord, I'm going to surrender some time. I'm going to spend some time in prayer. Praying for others? Hey, go ahead and pray for yourself. You need help, right? I know I need it. It's okay to ask God, hey, Lord, can you give me a hand? Help me out? We spend some time in prayer for others. We got to surrender. Lord, what would you have me to do today? You know, if you think about it in the morning, okay, Lord, I'm going to surrender my will to you today. What do you want me to do? Then when you're out and about and the Holy Spirit touches you and directs you, you'll move and do it. Ever had a time when you're in the store or something and God leads you to give a tract to somebody and you don't do it? Because your flesh doesn't want to do it? Because your flesh is worried about what would they think of me? What if they say no? Or whatever excuse is given. You know, if you don't plan to, Lord, I'll surrender to whatever you have me to do today, you're not probably going to give out that track or whatever else God asks you to do. Whether it's a word of testimony or God says, hey, just speak up for me a little bit here right now. And we don't know. When you cross people, you have no idea the impact you're having on them. You really don't. We don't know is, hey, if I give a little word of testimony right here, you don't know if someone talked to them earlier and that they're under conviction and God could use your word of testimony to help them, move them in the right direction. You don't know. But you know what? If you're not willing to surrender to his will and say, okay, Lord, when you ask me to do something, I'll do it, you're not going to have much of an influence for him. Be willing to surrender to him. Are you planning? Have you planned for eternity? If not, man, tonight's the night to do that. You say, I plan for eternity. Okay. Are you planning for the future? How's your service? You've planned for eternity. You've got salvation. But are you serving him? And then how about planning for today? Your surrender. How is it? Do you surrender your will to him? Do you submit yourself? Say, okay, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. I hope so. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Dear Lord, we thank you for the free gift of salvation you've given to us. We thank you that anybody can get it. It's not for a select few. It's not for a certain people group. It's not for a certain age group. But anybody can get saved. Lord, we thank you for that. If there's anyone here today, Lord, that you've been dealing with and you've been working on and they're not certain they're saved, you'd help them to make that decision tonight, get that settled. Lord, help those here that are saved that they would plan to serve you and plan to surrender to you on a daily basis and a weekly basis and yearly and monthly, whatnot. Lord, help them to make that happen. Make that a reality. I believe it'll be a change, major change in their life if they do so. Have your will and way in this invitation tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.